And all right, back for hour number two here on the Dennis Stuckey Show on WPHM. And we'll shift gears here and talk to, geez, how long have I known Steve Camadoy? Let me count the years. At least since the mid-90s. I don't know if it's quite been as long as Steve's been in officiating, which is, what, Steve, about over 25 years now for you?
Yeah, yep. Yes, I have, Dennis.
Wow.
And it has been that long since when you came into town and started. I met you, and I was helping out at the paper, and we connected, and geez, goes all the way back to the Border Cat days.
Oh, yeah. That is a long time ago. Well, I should start out by saying congratulations. I know you're a humble guy, Steve, but you were named the Michigan Hockey Referee of the Year. And after putting all those years of service in, it's got to be a really good feeling to get some recognition like that.
It is, but as you stated, Dennis, very, very honored, very humbling award. We had close to 2,000 officials this year and in Michigan, or last year in Michigan, registered, and it's just an absolute honor to be chosen above so many just great people, great. I consider those guys my team, great teammates, and that's what makes me keep coming back. It's great to be a part of that team.
Now, I know you, aside from the officiating, and what's a good guesstimate of how many games a year you have to officiate?
Well, much less than in the past. I have to say that my the number of games have slowly gotten smaller, but probably an official here in town, probably 300 games a year is not a stretch. And
wow.
That's probably what I was in. And, you know, you get a few months off, but actually they're playing still this summer. There's a men's league. So it's almost a year-round. Youth hockey goes from September to almost June. And then we get a couple months off, and then we're right back at it.
Yeah, so you've done youth hockey. I know you've done high school hockey. You do all the men's league hockey. Did you ever think about maybe you should give a shot at doing pro hockey like some of the guys have done here in town?
No, you know, Dennis, I found a kind of a place for me. You know, I know my limits. I enjoy the teaching of hockey, especially to the younger first time on the ice official. And that's kind of where I've myself and Steve Emery, who has been, you know, me and him have done it together for, gosh, you know, 15 years of scheduling and mentoring the new officials. And I find a lot of enjoyment with that. And that's what I'm doing more of, actually, than officiating the games.
Now, you're doing seminars, too, correct? And this is not just in our area. You're kind of going around to other places as well with this?
Yes. In order to become an official, you have to attend a seminar. And it's generally an all-day seminar on the weekend. It probably starts at 9 on the average and lasts till about 3. So a good 6 hours of videos and PowerPoint and instruction. We do some on-ice drills, and it's something that every official needs to do each year. Even the higher-level officials, they have to sit through a seminar and to become registered. So I got kind of tapped a few years ago to take the seminar program that I have that we've created here in Port Huron and take it statewide. So they took my presentation and format, and I work with all the district referee in chiefs in Michigan, and everybody's using the same PowerPoint and has the same agenda for all the levels of their seminar. So it's been pretty exciting to do that. And I travel around and observe and help instruct at seminars across the state.
Now, you know, just because they're doing it in the NHL a certain way doesn't mean that they're doing it that way when we talk about youth hockey. And one of the things that, I notice that, really stands out for me, say like at Silver Stick, because Silver Stick is probably the tournament or the 3 weeks out of the year where I see the most hockey at, that age group, and where face-offs take place and certain rules and how you guys handle offsides and icings and all that isn't necessarily the same way they're doing it today in the National Hockey League. It's kind of more old school. It's kind of the way it used to be in the National Hockey League, especially with the face-offs.
Yeah, we're much of the game is USA Hockey and the NHL have always had a good relationship. You know, we are the feeder program, let's say, to those individuals that move on to higher levels of hockey, the grassroots of playing hockey. The rules are very similar to the NHL, and we officiate. Many of the officials that we have move on to, of course, the NHL, junior level play, college, and there are small, subtle differences in different leagues and different levels, but the basic game is the same. Same in Little League, same in football. The basic game is the same as you see at the pro level.
Well, what's the one thing that if somebody were interested in becoming official, what's the most important aspect in it? Is it the skating, or is it just simply learning the rules, or what's the one point that you would really emphasize to a young official?
You need to understand the rules. As a player, there's rules that you understand, but where the faceoffs go, you know, when there's a stoppage of play, you know, they're just going to follow around the guys in the stripes and they're going to face off. You know, we have to know what happens. What happens if the puck goes out of the arena, or, you know, if there's a penalty, you know, there's a procedure in everything we do. So it's just that as a player, you could have played all your life, but then you see this other side and it's like, wow, it's a little bit more to it than just blowing the whistle and dropping pucks. So it's understanding all the rules, understanding when a penalty is a penalty, understanding the situations, and that's what we go through in the seminar.
A couple of other questions kind of following up on that point. Sometimes communication, I guess, is where I want to go with this. How important is communication when you've got more than one official on the ice? I know like the players need to communicate with each other. That's very important. But how important is it for two or three officials on the ice to be able to communicate with each other?
Well, that's our team. Just like you would play in, as a player, you know, you count on your teammates and you know, you work together as a team, and that's the importance of whether it's a two-man system, three-man, we have a four-man system that we have. Everybody has to be in sync. Everybody has to have each other's back. We always say, you know, if you got a two-man system, you got one friend on the ice, and that's it. You know, never forget that. You know, we are the team. We are the second team that's on the ice. We're there to administer the rules. Who wins, who loses, who scores goals, that's on the teams. We're just there to administer the goals, just like umpires are there to call balls and strikes and safe and out. We're there just to administer a fair game, so there's no advantages to any team. So yeah, very important. You gotta have that great good chemistry with your partners.
There's something that I notice sometimes. I notice it a lot, like in high school hockey when we broadcast the game. So obviously they go with two refs and a linesman, but generally between the two officials, there's usually one guy that kind of lays back and doesn't call as much, and another guy that kind of takes over the game and handles most of the penalty calls. Does that happen by accident, or is that the way it's taught, for one guy to kind of take control and for the other guy to just watch for other things that might get missed?
Well, you have a responsibility, kind of like in basketball. You know, you got the guy that's, you know, down deep with the play, and the guy that's on top watching plays. You're looking for certain things. and you have certain responsibilities. It shouldn't be that way. If you see an NHL game, you know, those officials are they're the best in the world, and you usually don't have that glaring difference, you know, on officials. But in if you observe it, Dennis, you know sports, you've been around a long time, and you know, you see that, you know, it's something we hope doesn't happen. We don't want to see one official roughing a different kind of game. You know, that you lose a little credibility in your team, you know, when that happens. So we talk, you know, at between periods. I remember in high school when we did have two officials, we talk between periods and say, you know, hey, you know, what are you seeing out there? You know, what did you see on that play? And that communication is really important when you have that situation. In USA Hockey, they recognize one official, one person wearing the bands, and two linesmen. So you don't just one official, and I'm pretty sure the Federal League is that way. I knew the UHL was that way, that you have one official.
The Federal League does the one official until the playoffs, and then for some reason they do the four-man system with the two refs. I don't know why that you do the regular season one way and then you change up for the playoffs, but that's another story for another time because that's the Federal League.
Yes, but they are adapting the four-man. You're going to start seeing more the four-man system in USA Hockey. They're looking to broaden that, you know, and seeing more of the game. You miss, I'm not going to say that we miss anything out there, but there when you're going from goal line to goal line, there are going to be things that maybe the one official is going to have a hard time going end to end, especially if it's a fast paced game. You are going to miss stuff behind the play. Maybe you're not going to get ahead of the play and on that goal line quick enough. So that's why they've felt the four man system, as in the NHL, you're going to see more of the officials will get an opportunity to call more of the game.
You know, and I'm not going to name names because I don't want to embarrass anybody or get anybody in trouble. and actually, this guy's retired now, I believe. But I had a guy tell me once, he says, I love officiating and I'll do any game anywhere at any time. But he says, you can't get me out on the ice anymore for the women's league. And not because it was bad play, but he said because they are way more vicious than the guys when they play the game. Do you have a favorite? Like, is there an age group or a certain league that you know, you'd never turn down a game because you just love doing those games?
Well, myself, I like the women's league. I think they have a lot of fun playing. If you've ever had a chance to go out there on a Sunday night, they have a lot of fun playing. They're all friends on the ice. There's a few, obviously in any game, there's a few that have a little bit more competitive edge than the others and maybe take it a little bit more seriously. But I like the younger levels. You know, I think that's, as a referee, we always tell the young referees that, you know, this is your job and you need to referee the game, but you also need to be a teacher too. You need to help the young players, you know, how do you line up for, get out there and line them up right in a face-off and, you know, tell them when maybe some things are going and you witness something that maybe a player is doing something that you know, borderline penalty stuff that, you know, you just at a stop, it's just, you can talk with them and kind of tell them, hey, you know, be careful with your stick, you know, keep your stick down or things like that. I'm finding more where I've enjoyed working with new officials and the younger players. And that's kind of where I'm kind of moved into in my career.
How much longer do you see yourself doing this, Steve?
I think I can do the seminars for a long time. You know, I hope they keep me on to continue improving the seminar presentations. I try to do something to improve it each year. We've got some registration rule changes this year to try to make it easier for someone to become an official. USA has kind of come up with a different program where Some of the senior officials won't need to go through as much training in the future. We're trying to get that first-time official through the program quicker. I'd love to do that. I can probably do that, you know, for a long, long time. As far as on the ice, mentoring the new official, I think I can do that for a while. But the higher-level games, like I quit doing high school a few years ago, the higher-level games, I'm leaving that for the younger guys to to handle. As I said in the article, I think it's either one or two things. I'm getting smaller and slower, or the players are faster and tall and bigger.
They're definitely getting bigger. I can vouch for that.
Yeah, hockey's become a very big game. I mean, it's nothing for me to be out on a Bantam AAA Silver Stick game and being the smallest guy out there. And these kids are 14.
Yeah. You mentioned USA Hockey a couple of times. There's also MAHA. What's the difference between these organizations? Do they work together?
Yes.
And what is MAHA govern over?
Okay, so USA Hockey is the governing body of all of youth and all of hockey, all of organized hockey, men's leagues, youth hockey. MAHA, Michigan Amateur Hockey Association, that is like a district. So the country is divided into different districts. Michigan has its own district. Some states are combined districts. Like there's I think an Atlantic district, and there's a Western district, and it's a combination of states. It's but Michigan has its own district, and they have their own governing body in Michigan, and they're left to handle the local organization. So they're the ones that put together the district play, and then it's kind of like Little League. You know, there's Little League as a whole, and then there's each little town has its own association, and then there's a regional district, and that's how they advance. So it's kind of the same structure.
All right, cool. A little bit different, but I know, like I was very briefly, we were teammates, Steve and I, on the Port Huron Sports Hall of Fame. Unfortunately, after like a couple of months, I had to bow out because it wasn't working with my schedule. I couldn't make any of the meetings. But I know October's coming, Steve. Are you guys excited for the enshrinement banquet?
Yes, we are. And we're very excited this year. We're going to move it into the new McMoran Field, the field house, the college field house. And that's where we're going to hold our induction banquet. So we're pretty excited about that. It's going to be a very nice, venue for us. We looked it over. And the college has been gracious enough to allow us to have it there. And I think it's going to be a really nice night for the new inductees.
All right. Good stuff. Hey, Steve, thanks for doing this because it's kind of late notice. I think I called you about 2 hours ago and said, hey, you know, we haven't talked about this yet.
Yeah, and we talked for like a half an hour.
Sure I tend to ramble.
No, it's great, Dennis, and appreciate all you do for the local sports. I know that the parents and the players in the schools that you do high school sports, I know they really appreciate the coverage.
Well, I'm getting excited because I'm about a week away here from high school football, and having covered the sport yourself, I know you know that that's a fun time of year.
It is. It is. School athletics are something you always remember, and football Fridays are always exciting.
All right. Hey, I got to let you go, Steve, but again, thanks for doing this, and congratulations, Michigan's Hockey Referee of the Year, Steve Kamadoy.
Thank you, Dennis.